Okay, gentlemen, so you requested that we spend some time today discussing tshuva. And I was thinking about it because you asked for tshuva now when it's before Rosh Hashanah. And generally speaking, we talk about tshuva both before Rosh Hashanah and before Yom Kippur. So the question I want to ponder with you is, what's the difference between the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and the tshuva of Yom Kippur? Why is it that on our calendar we have two distinct days where we do tshuva? I'm assuming that there is a difference between the content of the two types of tshuva. So what is that difference? This is the question I was thinking about for the last couple of days. And I'd like to present four suggestions as to what the difference between tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and tshuva on Yom Kippur is. Now, I am not getting involved in another question, which is, why does Rosh Hashanah come before Yom Kippur? Because however we define the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah being different than the tshuva of Yom Kippur will force us to confront a different question. Okay. So why does tshuva type A precede tshuva type B, right? Why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? And that's a question that is really important, but I don't know if we will be able to analyze it today. Okay, gentlemen, so what is the difference between tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and tshuva on Yom Kippur? So 3 days ago on Twitter, someone posted Arnie Lustiger. Arnie Lustiger is the father of one of my brothers-in-law. Arnie Lustiger posted a shiur that Rav Soloveitchik gave in Yiddish, but he presented English translation in the bottom, which enabled mere mortals like me to understand what the heck the Rav was talking about. So in this shiur, the Rav noted that the expression of the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Tshuva Halacha Daled can give us some insight as the difference between tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and tshuva Yom Kippur. Let's just go into the Rambam in general terms. The Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva by talking about that you have to do tshuva from Averos, etc. And the Rambam talks about in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, or Perek Aleph Halacha Beis even, that the main atonement used to be when that Sa'ir went to La'azazel, right? That sheep, the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, is what would atone for all of our sins. Today, we don't have that anymore, so therefore all we have is tshuva. So the Rambam, right off the bat, jumps into Yom Kippur, no? Sa'ir La'azazel is part of Yom Kippur. The Rambam, second parak of Hilchos Tshuva, specifically mentions tshuva on Yom Kippur. The Rambam does not mention the words Rosh Hashanah until the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva. That's interesting, no? Now let's read the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, and we'll see the way Rav Soloveitchik understood the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Zot the Rambam. Afal pisha tekiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gezeres hakosuv, right? It's a celebrated Rambam. Although the shofar that's blown in Rosh Hashanah is gezeres hakosuv, God said you have to do it. Nonetheless, remez yeshbo, there is a message in it. There is something that's alluded to. Koloma ur yishen mishnaschem, v'nir damim hekitzu miter daimaschem, right? You sleepers, wake up from your sleep. The Rambam writes that the lesson of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is to waken us from our sleep, to investigate our actions, to remember God, and to do tshuva. Celebrated Rambam. The idea of shofar is tshuva. No? Rav Soloveitchik explained that what the Rambam really means, if you get beneath the surface, is that Rosh Hashanah is something that is a catalyst for teshuvah. The shofar wakes us up, and the shofar leads to, the way the Rav said it, it leads to hirhurei teshuvah. It leads to thoughts of teshuvah. The Rambam at the very beginning, in the context of the tshuva of Yom Kippur, the Rambam gives us specific rules of how you do tshuva, no? You have to stop doing the sin, and you have to confess, you have to say vidui, etc. In the context of Rosh Hashanah, of the shofar, the Rambam does not give us any rules. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what that meant is that the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is really hear words tshuva. It's really thoughts about tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, inspires us to think tshuva thoughts. That's the idea. Now, Rav Soloveitchik in that shiur noted, don't tell me that thinking about tshuva is not so significant, because there are two gemaras that note the importance of thinking about tshuva. Kiddushin daf mem tes. A fellow walks over to a young woman and he says, Shendel genendel, you are hereby mekudeshes to me. I am hereby marrying you. Amenas she'ani tzadik gamor. On the condition that I am fully righteous. Now this is an individual who was a bank robber and a horse thief. Right, the guy was completely, two summers ago, we went to Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania. It was one of our trips. And there was a fellow in Eastern State who was known as the rabbi of the synagogue that they had there in Eastern State. The guy was arrested for running a prostitution ring and for killing the men who hired his prostitutes. This guy's a real winner. He escaped from Eastern State three times and was thrown back in three other times. Each time he was thrown out, the guy was mamish a winner. No? So that's the guy. The guy has been this. What? He was called the rabbi because he knew how to read Hebrew, and they had a little shul over there, and he led the services. So they called him the rabbi of Eastern State Penitentiary. As far as I know, he was not a musmach of our yeshiva. But a guy like that, a guy who is, as Shlomo Carlbach would say, the lowest of the low, right? A guy like that walks over to a woman and says, I am marrying you on the condition that I'm a tzaddik gomor, that I am fully righteous. Zuck the Gemara, she's married. Because maybe he thought about tshuva. Now, thinking about tshuva, like, how does that work? Aren't there rules of tshuva? The answer is, there's a category called hirhur teshuva, that maybe you can accomplish a great deal just with that moment of inspiration, that thought, that is what can lead to tshuva. That's Kedushin Memtes. Another gemara about hirhur teshuva is found in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that there is basically a Sarah Haruge Malchus. 10 people were killed by the Roman authorities. We don't know exactly who they were, but one of them is Rav Chanina ben Trajan. Rav Chanina ben Trajan basically is teaching Torah, and the Romans come and they say, you can't do that, sir. And they take him and they wrap him in the Sefer Torah, and they put some wet cotton on his heart so that his pain is prolonged before he dies. And in this process, the executioner goes and he jumps into the fire, right? And a bas kol comes out, a heavenly voice comes and says that Reb Chanina ben Trajan and the executioner both are going into Olam Haba. And Zak the Gemara, when Reb Yehuda Hanasi, when Rebbe heard this, he started to cry, and he said, Yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas, a person in one moment can acquire eternal life. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Rav Soloveitchik notes, what exactly did this guy do in that one moment? Obviously, what he did is he had those thoughts of tshuva, and thinking about tshuva itself is significant. Those thoughts that my entire life has been meaningless, everything I've done until now has been wrong, I'm going to rectify it, I'm going to jump into that fire. Yesh kon olamo b'sha'achas. That's hirhor tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik noted that in his opinion, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is inspired by the shofar, and it wakes us up, and we have those thoughts of tshuva, chick-chack, boom, and we become that tzaddik gomer in a second. That's the idea of Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaKippurim is the tshuva with all the rules and regulations about how you do it. This is Judaism according to Rav Soloveitchik. It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. However, I don't like it at all. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. I don't like it because nowhere in the Rambam do you see this idea of yesh kona olamo b'sha'achas. Nowhere in the Rambam do you see this idea that a person could just think religious thoughts for a minute and all goes. The Rambam's expression about a fellow who thinks that, who says to a young woman, you know, you're married to me because I'm a tzaddik, or on the condition I'm a tzaddik, I am hereby marrying you. The Rambam's expression in that case is that shema hir her tshuva belibo. You get an impression maybe previously he thought about tshuva, and it's not kedushin vadai. It's not definite kedushin. It's kedushin mitorah safek, right? It's doubtful kedushin, and that expression that with one moment a person can acquire eternal life is never found in the Rambam. So it's an interesting idea, but I am not convinced that this is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. So what's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, and how's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah different than the tshuva of Yom Kippur? So I'd like to offer three additional suggestions. The first two come from essays of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha. They were originally published on the Gush website on the virtual Beit Midrash, and now you can find them in at least one of them. You can find in his book, By His Light, which was translated into Hebrew afterwards, called Ba'ar Panecha Yahalechon. Rav Aaron's first essay is called Tshuva, Repentance or Return. It's an interesting question, no? What does tshuva mean? Does tshuva mean to repent? Does it mean to take the sins that you have and confess, repent, decide that you won't do them again, etc., rectify your particular sins? Or is tshuva about returning to God? It's a totally different perspective on tshuva, no? Is tshuva repentance or return? And it's something that I think is worthy of a lot of thought. And Rav Aaron develops it a lot in his essay. And Rav Aaron's basic notion is that tshuva as return, tshuva as returning to God, really means that in the course of our lives, throughout our year, we simply forget about God. Now, Rav Aaron is, of course, much more nuanced than just saying forgetting. Rav Aaron points out that there are different levels of forgetting. In the halacha, there's a concept of shikha, when you forget something completely. There's a concept of hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means that I lose my awareness. There's a halacha when I'm wearing my tefillin, I have to not be meisiach das. I have to be aware the entire time that the tefillin are on my head. So shikha is one concept, complete forgetfulness. There's another concept of hesach hadas, which is loss of awareness. And there's a third concept, which is forgetting of priorities. Sometimes a person recognizes that God is there, but the person thinks that he or she is the real doer, the real actor. Right? A person becomes haughty. A person forgets about God. A person thinks, that it's my strength and my talents that led me to accomplish all that I accomplished. That's a third type of forgetting. That's forgetting that comes together with remembrance. You remember God. You're thinking about God, but you think of yourself as being the primary actor. So there are three different aspects of forgetfulness. But all those aspects of forgetfulness are rectified when a person does the tshuva of returning to Hashem. The idea of returning to God is the idea that a person forgot about God, or lost awareness of God, or lost perspective on who God is and who he or she is. And then the person returns to Hashem. That's the tshuva of return. This tshuva, by the way, does not involve any sin, necessarily. The only sin that exists may or may not exist, no? The Smag, the Moshe of Kutzi, wrote an important halachic work, and he writes in the introduction to the work that I finished my book. Then at the end, I had a dream, and the dream said, you've forgotten the most important mitzvah. And the Smag says, what is this? What's the most important mitzvah? And the dream told him, it's the mitzvah not to forget Hashem. And the Smag notes in the introduction that the Rambam never quotes not forgetting God, right? The Rambam never says that there's a prohibition not to forget Hashem. By saying mitzvah, I mean something that's listed among the 613. It could be a positive command or a prohibition. But the point is, the Smag says, I listed it, even though ordinarily I follow the Rambam, but I realized that the dream told me that this is really important. So there is an idea that in the course of our lives, we forget about God, or we lose perspective, and then we do tshuva in the sense of return. But of course, there's also the sense of tshuva as repentance. I sinned. I feel bad about those particular acts that I did. I hurt somebody. I rebelled against Hashem. I came 2 minutes late to Ma'ariv once. Whatever it is, that's tshuva of repentance. Let's read that Rambam again. The Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Daled. The Rambam writes that even though Tekiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is Gezeres HaKosov, even though it's something that Hashem says we do it, that's it, we do it. Nonetheless, Remez Yeshbo Kiloma Uri Yeshen Mishnaschem, wake up from your sleep. Near Domim Hekitu Mitradei Maschem, you're dozing off, wake up from your slumber. V'chipsu b'maaseichem v'chizri b'tshuva. And investigate your acts and do tshuva. V'zichru barachem, and remember your creator. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, the tshuva of the shofar, is a tshuva that comes to tell us, remember our creator. And the Rambam's expression of someone who forgot the creator is interesting, because the Rambam talks about two different types of sleep, no? Uru yesheni mishnaschem, v'nirdomim hekitu mitardei maschem. There is a sleep that a person is somewhat aware of what's going on, no? There's a sleep that, what they talk about, there's like different REM sleep or something. There's a type of sleep that you are completely out of things. You're deep in your dreams. And then there's another sleep where you're somewhat like the type of sleep that students occasionally engage in during class, right? You're somewhat aware of what's going on, but you're not fully aware. I would argue that these two types of sleep refer to the two forms of forgetfulness that we mentioned before. This complete shikha, complete forgetfulness. And then there's the idea of just hesach hadas, the idea of not paying attention. I would maintain that the shofar calls those two different types of sleepers to get up, to emerge from their slumber and remember God. And remembering God has two different translations. There's remembering in the sense of don't completely forget. Remember that God exists. Then there's remembering God in the sense of become more aware of the presence of God in your life. Now, I mentioned that there are three levels of forgetfulness, and one could argue that within sleep also, sometimes a person has dreams where the person thinks of himself or herself as being the primary actor, I'm doing so much. There are dreams that happen when you're awake as well, right? You have dreams of grandeur, no? A person sometimes thinks of himself or herself like, wow, look at me, right? It could be that sleeping within the Rambam doesn't mean what we call sleep, but the point is, for the Rambam, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, I would argue, is not tshuva of Hirhor tshuva. It's not just that tshuva that happens with that one thought that I'm returning to God. But that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. I would argue that the type of tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rambam, is tshuva of return. But for the Rambam, the tshuva of Yom HaKippurim, the tshuva that's mentioned in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva, is tshuva of repentance. Right? The Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva. Kol mitzvah shebat Torah bein aseh ben lo aseh, im avar adam al achas mehem, ben bezadam, ben b'shgaga, any mitzvah in the Torah, positive, negative, if you violate one of them on purpose or by accident, when you do tshuva, you have to confess. And confession is the mitzvah. Meaning for the Rambam Perek Aleph, the mitzvah is to say, I sinned. And the tshuva that the Rambam talks about consistently in Perek Aleph and in Perek Beis involves sin. That's what tshuva is. And the Rambam gives us rules and regulations about what an individual needs to do to repent. That is tshuva of repentance. That is not tshuva of return. The Rambam is not speaking in Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. The Rambam is not speaking about returning to God. Much later on in the Rambam, in Perek Zayin, the Rambam speaks about how the sins an individual did throughout the year created a barrier between that person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And through tshuva, the person reconnects to Hashem. But it's almost like that is an ancillary byproduct of tshuva. The real focus of tshuva, according to the Rambam, is repentance. It's repentance. Or at least the tshuva of Yom HaKippurim is repentance. But there's a different tshuva, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, which is about returning, which is about bringing God back into our lives. But most of Hilchos Tshuva is not about that at all. Now, it's interesting to note that this coming Shabbos, as in 2 days from now, is Rosh Hashanah. And the Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah, the Shabbos that intervenes between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is called Shabbos Tshuva, no? It's called the Shabbos of Tshuva. And that's, of course, based on the Haftorah. Tshuva Yisrael, Adonai Elohecha, ki chashalta ba'avonecha. Right? Tshuva Yisrael, do tshuva. But the question that's asked is, how come we call the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur the Shabbos of tshuva? Every year, right before Rosh Hashanah, we lay in Parshas Nitzavim. Our calendar is fixed. Right? The Gemara at the end of Megillah tells us that our calendar is fixed, that every year Vilein Nitzavim right before Rosh Hashanah. And Perek Lamed of Parashas Nitzavim is about tshuva. The entire 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, I love the word Deuteronomy because like if you aren't into Torah, you'd have no idea what the word Deuteronomy means, no? Walk down the street, ask someone, what's Deuteronomy? They probably would have absolutely no idea. Similar if you ask someone, what is phylacteries? They'd have no idea. It is probably the most useless English translation ever to use the term phylacteries. No, if you know what tefillin is, say tefillin. Why do you have to say phylacteries? Am I right about this? So now, I have a few examples of this. At some point, if you get me drunk, maybe I'll tell you all of them. But the point is that before Rosh Hashanah, what? We can talk about Purim later, right? But the point is, on right before Rosh Hashanah, I read a parasha called Nitzavim. In Parashas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, the Torah talks about Ki Yavo Alecha Kadrama Ela Bracha VaKlala Shenasati Lafanecha. Right, Parashas Nitzavim is basically the conclusion of the Tochacha. There's these awful 98 curses that are found in the Torah in Parashas Kisavo. And at the end, it says, when all these things happen to you, so then you'll return to God. Vashevosa elevavecha, wherever you are, you'll turn to God. Vishavta ad Hashem lokecha b'shamata b'kolo. You'll return to Hashem, and you'll listen to God. You'll listen to God. And you'll do mitzvos again. And then the Torah writes, right, Perek, this is Perek Lama, you go through the Psukim Aleph through Yod, Ki Tishma b'shkol Hashem loikecha, Lishma mitzvosa v'chukosa v'haksuva b'sefer HaTorah hazeh, Ki soshu v'el Hashem loikecha b'chol levav v'chol nafshecha. The Torah says, you'll do tshuva. So Parashas Nitzavim has a section, chapter 30, is all about tshuva. In fact, Maran HaRav Kook, throughout the month of Elul, every day after davening, would say these psukim in Parashas Nitzavim. And if you look in his siddur, he has like a commentary on these psukim in Nitzavim. It's about tshuva. So the question is, how come when I speak about Shabbos Shuva, I talk about the Shabbos when I read the Haftorah of Shuva, but I don't speak about the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah where I read the Chumash's description of tshuva? And I thought the explanation is exactly what we said. You see, when I read the Navi Hosea, when I read the Haftorah between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shuva Yisrael ad Adonai Elohecha ki kashalta ba'avonecha, because you stumbled on sins, no? There is reference to sin in preparation for Yom Kippur. But the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, the tshuva Parshas Nitzavim, the tshuva that prepares us for Rosh Hashanah, right? Nitzavim is right before Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuva is right before Yom Kippur. The tshuva before Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva of return. It's not the tshuva of repentance. And for some reason, when they decided to name the Shabbosos of the year, they decided that Shabbos Shuva is the Shabbos of repentance, not the Shabbos of return. By the way, the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, the Ramban says that Parshas Nitzavim is what teaches me the mitzvah of tshuva. The Torah writes in Parshas Nitzavim, Ki ha-mitzvah hazosah she'anokhi mitzavcha hayom, lo nifleisi memcha v'lo rechokahi. This mitzvah that I'm commanding you is not in the heavens, right? It's not across the sea. It's right with you. You could do it at any time, any moment. Many Rishonim, Rashi sounds this way, they understand Ki ha-mitzvah hazos means all of the mitzvos, all of Torah. Torah is not so hard. It's close by. But the Ramban writes that no, the Ki ha-mitzvah hazos refers to the mitzvah of tshuva, which is a simple reading of the psukim. The Rambam, however, when the Rambam looks for a scriptural basis of the mitzvah of tshuva, The Rambam does not quote these psukim in Nitzavim at all. The Rambam quotes that the mitzvah is confession, not tshuva. Right? That is in the Koteret to Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam, in the heading that the Rambam has, and in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. And the source that the Rambam gives is that you have to confess, because when you sin, you bring a korban and you confess. That's tshuva according to the Rambam. For the Rambam, tshuva involves sinning. For the Ramban, tshuva involves not sinning, but involves returning to Hashem. And that's a very different type of tshuva. So the second explanation that I'd offer in terms of why there is tshuva both on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, I would argue that that is the difference between tshuva of return and tshuva of repentance. And by the way, it's entirely possible that this also explains why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. Right? Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Wouldn't it make sense that we should get judged after the Day of Atonement? Right? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter famously asked that question. But the answer might be that when a person is living in a state of distance from God, when God is not part of that individual's Weltanschauung, so in that case, repentance is impossible. Right? So what? If God doesn't exist, you didn't sin, no? It can't exist. There's no concept of sin. So repentance has to come after return. And this could be why Rosh Hashanah, which is about return, has to come before Yom Kippur. So that is my second approach. Third approach. The third approach is also based on an essay of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha. And this is the essay that Rav Aaron calls Tshuva of Crisis and Tshuva of Norm. Now, norm, again, Rav Aaron likes to be nuanced. So the word norm has two different meanings. Norm means that something is normative. Normative is like, it's a law. You have to do it. But norm also means something that's regular. Something that happens all the time. There is tshuva of crisis. Tshuva of crisis means that a person has like really difficult things that happen to her or to him. The person is really suffering. The person is really struck by how come so many people I've known have gotten sick and died in this pandemic. How come so many people I know are out of work? How come our lives have just been turned over in the last few months? That's a crisis, gentlemen. We are living in a period of crisis. And one type of tshuva is the tshuva of crisis. Bad stuff happen. Darf min fregen farvus. Why did the bad things happen? And the answer for a religious individual has to be, look at yourself. Find out what's wrong. Find out what sins you did. That's tshuva of crisis. But there's another type of tshuva, which is called the tshuva of norm. Every year I go to the doctor for a checkup. I might not be feeling sick, but I go to the doctor, and the doctor looks at me, and the doctor charges like $600 to the insurance company. And the doctor basically tries to figure out, to investigate, is there anything that's wrong? And I take my car to the mechanic once a year or something like that to look at the car, find out, are there any problems that might be developing in that car? That is norm. Part of regular life is that I take inventory, I take stock of what's going on. Tshuva of crisis and tshuva of norm, two different types of tshuva. I would argue, Rav Aaron does not say this, so this is Schwartz looking, but I would argue that the tshuva of crisis is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. But the tshuva of norm is the tshuva of Yom Kippur. There are two distinct types of tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is a day of crisis. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, this is the day of Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim Lefanov. This is the day that all those books, all the grand ledgers, are open in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we say it in the davening. It's not only me, and it's not only the Jewish people. V'yal ha-medinos bo ye-yomeh, e'ezo l'cherev, e'ezo l'shalayim. Right? Hashem speaks about all the nations in the world. Which nations will have war? Which nations will have peace? Which nations will have plagues? Which nations will be fine? Right? Rosh Hashanah, when you think about it, is a day of tshuva, of crisis. Because you think about the fact that the entire world is being judged. And I'm being judged. And as the Rambam tells me on Rosh Hashanah, right, I have to think of myself like my one sin could be that which tips the scales for me, for my community, for my country. That's the moment of crisis. Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva of crisis. But Yom HaKippurim is the tshuva of norm. Take a look in the Rambam. Perek Beis in the Rambam, Halacha Zayin. State in Rambam. Yom HaKippurim hu zman tshuva lakol. Yom Kippur is the fixed time for tshuva for everyone. Look, yachid, l'rabim. V'ukeitz mechilos licho l'Yisrael. L'fika chayovim hakol lasos tshuva l'hisvades b'yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim is the time of tshuva, right? Once a year you have your doctor's appointment. And Yom HaKippurim is the normative time of tshuva, where there's an obligation to do tshuva on Yom HaKippurim. An obligation that does not exist the rest of the year. By the way, an obligation that does not exist on Rosh Hashanah. There is no mitzvah to do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. Again, if you do tshuva, obviously you get points. Just like if I do tshuva on an ordinary Tuesday, I get points. But the obligatory day of tshuva, that day when the Torah says, you better do it, you have a mitzvah. If you don't do tshuva on that day, it's like you don't wear tefillin on a day. There's a mitzvah to do tshuva. Mitzvah means commandment. The day that is normative as the day of tshuva. That's Yom HaKippurim. Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva of crisis. But Yom HaKippurim is the tshuva of norm. And I think this idea also can be connected to the previous idea that we mentioned. Parashas Nitzavim, the parasha that we read before Rosh Hashanah. Parashas Nitzavim comes after the Tochacha, after those curses that we got in Parshas Kisavo. And Nitzavim tells me, Ki yavo alecha ka advarim ha'eila ha'brocha v'haklola v'ashevosa l'vavecha b'chol ha'goyim. After you suffered, after you went through that living hell of a tochacha, after that crisis, so then you do tshuva. That's Rosh Hashanah. It's the tshuva of crisis. And Yom HaKippurim is the tshuva of the norm. And the shofar that represents tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, that shofar also is the instrument that was blown at times of war. It's the instrument that reflects something that we do at moments of crisis, no? Kitavo milchama ba'aretzuchem, when there's a war, says the Torah, blow those trumpets. Blow those trumpets. Yeah, the Torah speaks about chatzotzrot, but the Gemara says that whenever you blow chatzotzos, you also blow shofar. And the psukim in Yehoshua say that when they go to war against Yericho, they surround the city and they go around seven times. Right? That's, by the way, the source of hakafos. They go around seven times and they're blowing shofar. Shofar is at moments of crisis. We sound the alarm. And that's what the shofar is in Rosh Hashanah. It's the alarm that is sounding because, oh my gosh, there's a crisis going on. You better do tshuva. Yom HaKippurim is different. Yom HaKippurim is not that something bad happened. Yom HaKippurim is, you know what? There's this day, once a year, you're obligated to do tshuva. Take inventory. Rosh Hashanah's tshuva does not involve taking inventory. It doesn't involve a thorough, complete analysis of the personality. It involves just thinking, why did this crisis befall? What happened? That's Rosh Hashanah. But Yom Kippur is the tshuva where the doctor looks you over, hopefully. The doctor does a complete and thorough exam. Hopefully the doctor, I've been to doctors that my yearly checkup took like 35 seconds. They weighed me, they drew a teeny bit of blood, and then they charged the insurance. I've been there also. But that's not a good yearly checkup, right? The checkup on Yom Kippur, that thorough checkup, is the day that God said, this is the day to investigate yourself. This is the day to look at yourself carefully and to figure out, who am I? What is my personality? In which ways am I meeting the talents that Hashem gave me? In which ways am I falling short? Those are challenges of a Yom Kippur. The challenge of a Rosh Hashanah is, first of all, it's not about me. It's about the entire world. And it's about taking these crises seriously. There are people, by the way, who could live through crisis and never notice it. Right? I know a lot of people like that. The whole world is falling apart, gentlemen. When you think about it, right, you can't fly to most of this planet anymore. A couple of months ago, you could just hop on a plane anywhere. And so much has changed. But so many of us, with the exception of wearing a mask, occasionally, some people don't even do that. Nothing has changed. Crisis doesn't move them. Rosh Hashanah, I'd say, the sound of the shofar is there to call out and say, you know what? There are crises on this planet. Wake up. Wake up and realize things aren't amazing. And when you realize that things aren't amazing, the response to that is called tshuva. Because we believe that when things go wrong, it's because we have fallen short of what we should be doing religiously. That's our fundamental belief. That's throughout Tanakh. So that's the second explanation. Again, the third explanation. Let's just review. The first explanation that we gave was in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that Rosh Hashanah represents what's called Hirhor Teshuva, that you just have thoughts of tshuva, and that could be in a split moment, Yesh Kono Olamo B'Shah Achas. I didn't like that explanation so much. I preferred the next two explanations that we gave. The explanation of the difference between tshuva of return and tshuva of repentance. On Rosh Hashanah, by the way, I don't mention sin at all. Nowhere. Nowhere in our davening do we clap al chet on Rosh Hashanah. There's zero reference to sin. Rosh Hashanah is about returning to Hashem. Yom HaKippurim is about repentance, not return. That's the second explanation. The third explanation is that Rosh Hashanah is the day where I am moved to tshuva, and tshuva in this context, according to explanation three, might mean repentance in both cases. But the reason I repent on the Rosh Hashanah is because I confront crisis. The reason I repent on Yom HaKippurim is because it's my annual checkup. It's the tshuva of Norm. That's the third explanation I'd like to give. The fourth explanation is less developed in my own mind, but one of the good things about being a teacher is that you guys can kind of be the guinea pigs, and I can work through ideas that I've been thinking about and see how they sound. Sometimes an idea sounds really good in your own head, and then when you try to articulate it, you realize, oh, this is just garbage. No? Does that ever happen? Like you put it down on paper and it's like, what the heck was I thinking? So this is my moment. Let me see if this actually makes any sense. I would argue that there are two different types of tshuva. There is tshuva which is hidden in the recesses of one's soul, and there is tshuva which is revealed. Two different types of tshuva. In Kabbalistic terms, there's tshuva de iskasia and tshuva de isgalia. There is hidden tshuva and revealed tshuva. The idea that Nady mentioned a few minutes ago, the idea of Yom Kippurim, they quote in the name of various Kabbalistic sources that it's the day which is like Purim, it's Yom Kippurim, right? The difference is that Yom HaKippurim, my tshuva is revealed. But on Purim, my tshuva is hidden beneath the inebriation. I'll say it like that. But I would argue that Yom HaKippurim, as in the 10th day of Tishrei, that's the day of revealed tshuva. That's the day when the tshuva I do is articulated, the day when the tshuva is demonstrated, the day when the tshuva is noticeable. Rosh Hashanah is the day of hidden tshuva. Think about it. On Rosh Hashanah, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, I don't clap al chait. I don't say Hashamnu Bagadnu. But I have something else. I have a shofar. And everyone explains that shofar is a wordless call. It's a wordless call in the sense of we call to Hashem. It's a sense of prayer. But Rosh Hashanah is also Hashem calling to us. When Hashem created Adam, Hashem vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, Hashem blew into Adam. And in Rosh Hashanah, we take that breath and we go back to God. That's the sense of Rosh Hashanah in our prayer, as a prayerful sense. The shofar is prayerful. But the shofar is also a mitzvah that we hear, that we listen to. And that's God calling to us. And the shofar makes sounds. The sounds of the shofar are straight, tikiyah. Then you have various broken sounds. Then you have a tikiyah again. And the lesson of that is, Asa Elokim es Adam Yashar. When we were created, we were straight. We were flawless. Elokai neshama shenasatabi tahorahi. We have this pure soul. But what did we do? Shvarim shrua. We took that soul and we broke it down. Right? We became tzibrachan amenshin. We destroyed our possibility. And we didn't just break it down into big chunks of the shvarim. We broke it down into tiny little pieces. We did so many sins over the course of the year. But the hope is that there's a tekiah at the end. And hopefully the very end is a tekiah gedola that's going to last for a really long time. And what does that tekiah mean? That tekiah means we might be broken, but we're going to return to being straight again. But all of this goes on in my mind. All of this is hidden tshuva. In fact, In the Machzorim, they say that during the time when the shofar is sounding, it says in the Machzor, V'yisvade b'lachash, you should say vidu, you should confess silently. Because the sound of the shofar is an inspiration for us to do tshuva in the hidden way. There's no demonstrations. We don't do anything out loud. It's tshuva de iskasya. But Yom HaKippurim is the day of revealed tshuva. Yom HaKippurim is the day when we show that we're doing tshuva. We bang our hearts. Our tefillos are about al-chet, al-chet, al-chet. We wear white. We demonstrate that we hope that the tshuva will be fully accepted. Or we demonstrate the white in the sense of we're wearing burial shrouds. And we think of that we really should be dead because of what we did. It's out in the open. Rosh Hashanah, you dress normally. You eat normally. The tshuva that you're doing on a Rosh Hashanah is hidden. The tshuva that I'm doing on Yom HaKippurim is revealed. The central pasuk of Rosh Hashanah is the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right, we say three major brachos, Malchios, Sophronos, and Shofros. Malchios is declaring that Hashem is the king. And Malchios, of course, is the central bracha of all the brachos on Rosh Hashanah. Right? The word Melech keeps on appearing and repeating itself, much more than Sophronos and Shofros. Malchios is the central idea of Rosh Hashanah. And the last pasuk, the crescendo of Malchios, is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's a declaration of the uniqueness of God. Right? Rav Soloveitchik used to say that if you translate Hashem Echad as God is one, you are an apikoros, because one means there could be two, and the word Echad means God is unique. That's what the Rav said. El mita damyuni el. You can't compare God to anything. The central idea of Rosh Hashanah is the idea that Hashem represents absolute unity. That's the idea of being hidden. The essence of God is completely hidden. Yom HaKippurim, and what I'm quoting now comes from the Alter Rebbe's Tanya. So if you don't understand this, it just means you have to review it again. But the Tanya writes that there is Yehuda Ila'a and Yehuda Tata'a. There is the unity of God, the uniqueness of God in the upper realms, that God's essence represents combining the contradictory notions of Din and Rachamim. And then there's Yehuda Tata'a. There's the pasuk of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed, which is the lower unity of God. The lower unity of God means that God is immanent rather than transcendent. The lower unity of God, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayed, refers to the fact that Hashem is everywhere. Hashem exists in this world. Hashem is not only everywhere, but according to the Alter Rebbe, Hashem is revealed everywhere in the sense of nothing could exist if God would not be here. Again, that's already a more complicated concept. But I would argue that Rosh Hashanah is the day where the central pasuk is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yom HaKippurim, the central pasuk of the day, is the fact that the only time during the year we say it aloud, we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso out loud, is on Yom HaKippurim. And Barashim Kivol Malchuso represents the fact that there is God who is immanent, not God who is transcendent. Shema is the transcendent God. So in my mind, these ideas are connected. I think the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the day of hitting Shuvah represents the fact that the transcendent God is completely hidden. No one can ever ascertain, no one can ever comprehend that transcendent God. But the God who is immanent, the Yom Kippur aspect, that is something that we're all challenged to try to find. So again, this is Judaism according to me. I think there are two different types of tshuva, tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and tshuva Yom HaKippurim. That, it's not just I think, that I know. Why there are two different types of tshuva, what they represent. So we had four possibilities, the Hirhor tshuva. We had the second possibility of return versus repentance, the possibility of crisis versus norm, and now the possibility of hidden versus revealed. And just to conclude, hidden versus revealed is actually found in the Chumash. Because in Chumash, nowhere do we see the concept of tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. Nowhere. Yom HaKippurim, it's all revealed. Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem, letar eschem kol chatil seichem. Right? It's clear that this is a day of atonement in the Chumash. Rosh Hashanah, not at all clear. Okay, so I want to wish you all a good Gebeng Shtiar, a Ksiva Chasima Tova. I hope I gave you some food for thought with this. And we should just meet each other again in this coming year. And we really hope Tichla Shana, Vekil Oseha, Tachel Shana Bir Hoseha, that all the curses of this past year should become a distant memory. And this coming year should be a new year full of bracha, full of only good things. Okay, Chevra, have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.